lifetimes of listening.
I want to do this live show and I need a backing band.
The essence, I feel like, of ideas that are being created here.
The ability to participate, the ability to be in something and bet something as a music scene.
Lifetimes of listening.
Welcome to Lifetimes of Listening. It's a podcast that seeks to understand why music is important in people's lives. Now, today's episode is really a great one. We're going to explore the role of a particular venue in the foundation of a local music scene here in Tucson. We'll examine Groundworks. It's a nonprofit, youth-driven community arts space in Tucson operating since 2019. For many people in their formative years, teens through early 20s, having a place to really dive into art and or music can be an important component of emotional, cultural, and social development. It can be a place where people can explore their creative abilities, try on something new, meet with and connect with others of a similar age and outlook, a place of real community and connection and growth. And that's what this episode is all about. So, Brian, I got to ask you, I'm curious, did you as a young person, a teenager or so, have a place to explore art or music when you were growing up, school, church, club, or some venue that offered those sorts of opportunities? Or maybe it was several places.
Not a place like this, not a place that would allow popular music per se. I grew up mostly K-12 in Pascagoula, Mississippi, a relatively small southern Mississippi town, and I had a great band director, a great music program, a great jazz music program in the school. So we performed a lot at within schools and for other, you know, going to an elementary school to have a jazz music jazz band show. But did a lot of work in churches and church orchestras and community orchestras. But it wasn't really till I got to college, and I can remember, you know, age 19, 20, 21, before I could go into just any club, when there was one place, I can't remember the name of it, it had the feeling of like, you know, the panels would blow off in a strong wind kind of thing. So just a terrible acoustic, but it was a stage on one end, and they would just, and it'd be loud rock punk music, but they would allow you to go at age 19. And so I went to a handful of shows there. I don't remember the band's names. I don't remember. I just remember thinking, whoa, that's really cool. But this was a less personal, less connect, you know, it doesn't have the connection of what I now understand Groundworks to be. I was just allowed, it was just a venue that I could go see that would hold 100 under 21 age kids.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
What about you?
Growing up as a teenager in suburban St. Louis, I did not have a particular place that I went to become engaged in music or art, but I had several experiences at different types of places and connections with young people that all contributed to that. First and foremost would simply be the band program at the high school I went to, which was a magnificent concert band. Never forget it. One of the great experiences of my life. When I thought about this, I thought somehow of summer camp. I went to a church summer camp, a one-week summer camp, 8 years in a row from age probably 8 until 16 or so. And there was this real connection with other people of my age there on many levels, but it included creativity and art and music making. So that was important to me. At our church, we had a youth group. And again, you're teenagers, 15, 16, 17, I guess. And one kid in the youth group who I grew up with in church played in a rock and roll band. And they played The House of the Rising Sun.
That's a great song.
Yeah. But. So I had that engagement with music and people my age. And then additional to that, in addition to school band program, summer camp, church youth group, there was this local teen club that I've mentioned to you many times that I saw, among others, the MC5 and one of their very early non-stadium shows, Alice Cooper, of all things, in this tiny little venue with a 12-foot wide, foot-high stage and 400 kids sitting on the concrete floor. So I had all those sorts of opportunities, but not in one place like this place. Groundworks offers to the youth of Tucson, Arizona. So we all grow up with something like that, and we're going to today learn more about this one.
Yeah, today we're exploring Groundworks, which is a youth and arts music organization here in our community of Tucson, Arizona. And our guest is Logan Green, a co-founder and president of Groundworks. And he's going to join us in just a moment, so stay with us through the break. And this is Lifetimes of Listening. Today, we are thrilled to be visiting with Logan Green, co-founder and president of Groundworks, a nonprofit, youth-driven community art space in Tucson. And he, along with two other co-founders, started Groundworks, in 2019. Welcome to Lifetimes of Listening.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, Logan, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? What's your musical and artistic background?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Tucson, and I started playing music when I was in middle school, high school, kept up with it, got really involved in playing in bands, being part of my local music scene, and then went to college, studied music at U of A, studied a music theory, history, and criticism as one kind of major. After that, went to substitute teaching and taught, like tried to do music classes to kind of see if that teaching was a route I wanted to go. Then I went back to get my teaching certificate at Pima and then became a guitar teacher at Saguaro High School. So like the entire way, and even the jobs I had in between were like working at Instrumental Music Center. So like working in a music store, every step of the way was like something involved in music and then probably teaching as well. Now I teach lessons and I do this Groundworks thing, which I started with some friends planning it in 2018, probably starting to think about like, if we wanted to have a music space in Tucson, what would we want it to look like? What do we want it to do? And for us, it was becoming a nonprofit and really focusing on young people. And so we got that going in 2019, and it's kind of been on the path ever since.
And when you say young people, what's the age range that Groundworks, the age range that patronizes this organization?
Yeah, we work with youth 14 to 24 primarily, though we do consider it an all ages space. We have a guy who books shows here once a month, and he is 71 years old. I think he just turned. So we focus on the all ages component of it. But our primary focus is teenagers and people who are just out of high school trying to get involved in their music scene or artistic scene too. I talk about music a lot because that's my background, but we do a lot in visual arts and other types of mediums that way.
So there's something you said that I want to follow up on, because it sounds like you guys had conversations about how to make a space work for the kind of thing that you envision. So how'd you get here? What were the kinds of things you were looking for that you're realizing now in the space?
Yeah, some of it was inspiration from other spaces, and some of it was whatever the opposite of inspiration would be, of seeing like what doesn't work places and being like, okay, not that. We don't want that to happen, because the people that helped start it and the people that I'm just friends with, we all have been part of like touring music on a DIY and punk kind of level for most of our adult lives. And with that, we get to see spaces like this and spaces not like this around the country. Plus, we all have, you know, a lot of us have grown up in Tucson and grew up with spaces and have heard about other spaces that came before and things like that. So we were, you know, looking at what works and what doesn't work. The main tenets were providing consistency, providing a safe space for youth where that's like where we don't have alcohol and we don't have drugs and we don't have that kind of party attitude, because we have seen that not work in a lot of places that are otherwise amazing places. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of the idea of like, we want to focus with teenagers, let's say, and have their parents drop them off here and not worry about them or them being allowed to go in the first place. So it was things that were around that kind of topic that kind of inspired us to do it in this way.
Yeah. So what's give us an idea of what a typical week at Groundworks consists of? Art, music, people in and out, what sort of things happen?
I could talk about this week because it's a good example. Yeah. So over the weekend that just passed, we had music lessons happening from a couple teachers going on. While that was going on, we had an art workshop here in our venue space. And then every Friday and Saturday night, we have a show and some sort of concert or some sort of event. Sometimes it's a different type of event, but generally it's a concert where we have 3 to 4 local artists perform, sometimes a touring act, something like that. During the week, we have meetings around the space. Sometimes other people will rent the space for rehearsals. We had a couple of those this weekend. And the idea is being a space for youth and arts as our number one priority. So during the week, we have those things kind of marked out on our schedule every week. Then after that, if we have something that is just youth or just arts going on, like rehearsal for adults or something like that, we'd love to have it. And we have those things in here. And after that, it's just a community space. So sometimes people will use the space for some type of meeting or some type of other activity. So event-based, in-person-based is where our main focus is. And that's where we do a lot of stuff. And we're able to provide a lot of opportunities for the community.
During the pandemic, and you shared with Brian and me a week or two ago when we met with you, the organization was getting rolling to some degree during the pandemic, and so that presented some issues, I'm sure, as you were kicking this thing off the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. Of all the visionary ideas we could have had, getting a lot of people together in a small space turned out to be the worst one at that particular time. So 2019, we got our nonprofit status, and that was very cool. We learned a lot about just kind of getting a business going, because nonprofits are just businesses that just have a different profit structure. So we learned about all this stuff. We put a lot of energy. I was going to all the classes that were available at the downtown library for free of business classes. So we were really putting a lot of energy there. We did a Kickstarter. We did some fundraising events to build awareness in our community, and we were gung-ho on this building that we got a lease for in January 2020, and our build-out was supposed to be about 4 months. We get open in April, and then by mid-March, we were learning that was not going to happen, and we had to make the choice of, do we want to keep going, or do we? No one's going to fault us for saying, you know what, we're good, sorry, everybody. I don't think anybody would blame us, but we decided we wanted to keep going, so we learned more about grant writing. There was some emergency grants and things like that going on at that time. We weren't eligible for most things because we'd only been around for less than a year, and usually you need 5 years of financial history to get a certain type of grant or that kind of thing. So we were lucky enough to just spend enough time to find the right ones for us, and we got enough money and from other fundraising efforts to basically just pay our bills to keep a space going, because at that time it felt like right around the corner we could open. Yeah. And mm-hmm.
The fact is, it's kind of like the line from New York, New York: if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can start a nonprofit organization as the pandemic is kicking off.
Yeah.
Then,
We learned our survival skills very quickly. Yeah. And that is our one real strength, is that we are very capable of doing it in the worst conditions. The we don't have funding. We aren't allowed to operate, and we can still figure out how to make some artistic endeavors happen. What we did was turn everything into a virtual opening. So we created we used these real estate apps that you can use to take virtual maps of a space, and we just tweaked them in a way that we could add in videos from artists and pictures of people's art, and we put in person everything. So we would take all the art, we'd put it on the walls, we'd have bands perform there safely, but it was just the band, and we filmed them, and we would have that in the virtual tour. So that's how we got open virtually.
And the fact is, during the pandemic, and to some degree due to the pandemic, all of these technologically innovative things came about, bringing people together in the midst of all of that, bringing together virtually. So it sounds like you took good advantage of the opportunities, too.
Yeah, we learned a lot in that time.
There are a couple of faculty that just really do amazing things at the University of Arizona with that kind of, how do you go historically to a space in history that, a very important place, and they recreate it virtually and allow students to walk through. That's really fascinating. You've answered this indirectly. Almost everything you've said answers this in part. But just to put a point on it, why is a space like Groundworks, why is a place where youth can come and make art that is safe for them and as a parent, why is that important?
Yeah, it's something we think about a lot when we're trying to talk about the space, because we think it's important. Like, we know it's important, but sometimes it's kind of hard to articulate to people what that importance looks like. And truly, the best representation of it is the events we do and seeing the people coming and enjoying themselves and being like, that is like at the core of it, is we're creating these awesome artistic experiences for youth who many of them are either this is their first introduction to it, in which case we're trying to create an awesome safe environment so that they get a good experience and they want to keep going in that. And then for others, though, it's creating a space where they that feels like their own. They're empowered around the space. They take ownership over it, and that is huge for us, because when I was growing up, when a lot of us were growing up, we know the benefit of it because we benefited ourselves from that type of space. We know that our lives were made better for it. And it's because somebody else was doing that kind of work just behind the scenes to allow us to be a part of it. So that's what I see. I mean, I definitely believe other things too about it, in that, like, you know, we're fighting boredom, which I think boredom is a killer, like literally, in terms of, you know, the types of things you get into when you're bored and or you think your town has nothing to do as a teenager. I think a lot of people have stories like that and wished they had spaces like this. A lot of adults tell me that all the time. They're like, I wish something like this was around when I was a kid. There might have been, and they just never found out about it. So our goal is to, like, try to bring in more people into this space, because we do think there are other factors out there that are very serious. But at the core of it is it does bring a lot of joy to young people's lives in like a whole new way than even it used to be, with just our biggest competition being people's phones and, you know, Netflix and things like that. And those things are awesome too, but I think most people feel the kind of disconnect from that world, and this brings it in a more tangible, enjoyable way for a lot of teenagers.
Well, we are so excited to have you here to respond to a couple of we've interviewed about 200 people. They've shared musical memories with us, but three stood out because they all mentioned this place and this space and what it's meant to them. And so we'd like to share those with you in a moment after a brief break.
Well, now on Lifetimes of Listening, we've got three musical memories about this organization, Groundworks, where Brian and I are today, with its director, Logan Green. And we're going to share these three musical memories with you, Logan, that are about this place to some degree or another in varying ways. The first is a young woman named Anna Espinosa, who shares a wonderful memory here that I really enjoyed hearing about finding a gratifying new pursuit, a new purpose in life, and a sense of belonging as well. So let's listen now to this musical memory from Anna.
So my name is Ana Espinosa. I am a journalism student at the U of A. Back in 2022, I was assigned to do a story for the Daily Wildcat on, like, this local punk band. It was the album release party for this Annie Jump Cannon is the name of the band. I think it was the sense of community that was there. Like, they brought, since it was their album release, they brought a bunch of friends, they brought a bunch of family, and it felt very welcoming environment and a very open-minded, like, space and everything. And I think, like, it was really powerful, I think, to experience. And I, yeah, just the great sense of community that surrounded the whole thing. I think that was the moment for me, being at the show, seeing all the people, like the small but mighty community that followed them, like seeing all their songs, that really kind of guided the trajectory that I'm on right now, trying to be a music journalist. I was just really excited to, like, keep looking, and I started digging around for, like, different local events, and, like, I found this place called Groundworks, which is like a DIY space and a whole kind of range of people and characters that walk through there. It's so fun to just experience all these different ideas and passions that people have. But I just felt a very unique position that I was in. I felt like the responsibility, but also appreciative, I think, of when I think back of that time. Music is like an incredibly personal and experience, and I think having a local environment that kind of reflects what you're living and what you're seeing, you know, it captures the experience and the essence, I feel like, of the ideas that are being created here.
So, any responses to Anna's story about her experience and her connection with Groundworks?
I love hearing that, especially just talking about how she saw this community happening and she realized it was like something she wanted to actively be a part of. And if she was somewhere else, or if we hadn't done this space, it would be a lot harder for her to find somewhere where she could just go and be a part of it, right? So she finds this space. And that, like, to me is exactly the idea. It's like we have it accessible and available to people like Anna. And Anna's amazing. She's wonderful. She's in here all the time. And love working with her. But yeah, that sense of community is exactly what I want people to get out of this, and to find it and be like, yeah, this is a space where there's all sorts of different people who are part of it and part of this community.
As we were listening to her story, I was thinking back to Brian's question a little earlier, why is this space necessary? And when you hear a person like Anna tell her story of how important this is for her in sense of community, but also avocationally, right? Now she's got a kind of an end to the whole music journalism experience that's going to a new direction for her life.
I don't know if you ever look for volunteers for grant writing and stuff, or if this would be anything she's interested in, but she's a good, I've read some of her pieces about music and other people. She's a good author. It's a hard job to be a music journalist, but I'm really hopeful for her.
Yeah. And that was, she was also mentioning like that was 2022, her getting into it. And now just within 2 years, she's kind of very involved and
yes.
She's been a performer here and she's, done other things here.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
And so that's a really cool thing. And then for her to look back, like basically 2 years later and have these amazing memories of even just couple years ago, I think that's something else that we're kind of planting seeds for, is for people to look back later and be like, wow, what an amazing opportunity they were able to have.
It will be interesting when the space has been in existence long enough for there to be a kind of a generational change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The people who got involved at the beginning, what they make of this in their lives and may bring back to this organization for
Groundworks reunions, the shows, or whatever that come along. The next person that we want to play for you, Andy Mirlatis, knows you because I guess went to the school where you were the guitar teacher, but then was in a band that played here, and that became a part of him reconnecting with this idea of being a performing artist in many ways. And so I'd like to play that for you now.
My name is Andy Mirlatis. I'm a freshman here at the U of A. I'm studying film and television and am an aspiring filmmaker, director, and I love music. Well, the first musical memory that I can go back to is when I was around 6 or so. My dad brought home a drum set that he got off of Craigslist, just kind of out of nowhere, as a Christmas gift for me and my sister, and I guess a little bit for him too, because he played drums back in the day, back in the 80s, and he, I guess, sort of wanted to relive that again. But it was really cool to have the drum kit in the house. At least, I didn't know how to play at the time, and I would start doing drum lessons a couple years later. And from about the age of 10 until a lot more recently, I sort of fell off playing drum set specifically, and recently sort of had a second wind with that, playing in a small band that I'm starting up, a local rock band with some friends. Yeah, it sort of came out of nowhere this year, actually. A buddy of mine, Justin, who I've been in band with and friends with since middle school, he's been writing his own music and producing it. It's sort of like pop punk, a little bit of alternative indie influences, at least the music that he writes. And he came to me and a couple other people we knew from band and were like, hey, I want to do this live show and I need a backing band. And so I had the drum set at the house still. I offered to play that. Yeah, for the past couple months, I've just really gotten back into playing it, and it's been a really great experience. We have a second show coming up in June, which I'm really looking forward. And yeah, I hope it kind of can turn into something more and be a more regular thing. It is it's at Groundworks, which is a it's a small local nonprofit venue off of Grant Country Club, I think. That's a place that I go to a lot to see a lot of local bands and live shows, and they have a great community there of my school's former guitar teacher who founded it, and he's made a really great space for youth and music to sort of come alive. It's one of my favorite venues in town. I would say the first show that we played was what they called their first show. So it was a group of six different artists who came from all different backgrounds, some of them from here, some high school, younger, and it was their first show. So it was sort of just a spotlight on up-and-coming new youth artists in town, and it was really fun to meet all the different bands and sort of see everyone's different musical stylings and how it can all sort of come together to make something new. And it kind of just goes to show how thriving the local music scene in town is.
That's Andy's band. Entertainment is the name of that band. They are, they are great. They were part of, like, I believe our first show. So the first one we did here, and we were really amazed because it was just an idea we had of, like, instead of putting a band on some other show for their first show, putting all the bands on together in one night so that everybody, there's a little less pressure about just playing for the first time. It's like, not that everybody else is more experienced than you. Everybody's on the same level. And that band is definitely one that we've loved to watch since then, where they've grown and they've become better and, you know, more mature that way. But we were just shocked at how many people were interested in that kind of thing. And it's awesome to hear that that was such a positive experience on the other side of it as a performer, that it's really doing its job there.
And another thing that he mentioned, and I believe he's from Tucson also, although I can't remember, but he mentioned his dad playing back in the 80s. And it feels to me, and this, I know that's earlier than you would have started gigging or playing around, but in the 80s or 90s, there were a couple of spaces akin to, not Groundworks, maybe not nonprofits, but there were spaces that were all ages for kids to play, bands to play. Because I have some other friends my age that back in the day when they were in high school played in Tucson. So you've had that first show experience with a couple of different groups, right? So
Absolutely.
How do you lower the pressure for that?
Yeah. So yeah, some of those spaces. Yeah, I remember the one that I went to was Scrappy's, and that started in the late 90s. And before that was the Downtown Performing Arts Center.
Right.
There was recently like a documentary about the punk scene in Tucson. There was a bunch of punk houses and stuff in the 80s and that kind of thing. And so there is this lineage going on that those are the places where youth would play their first shows. Like it's not generally the bigger venues and the clubs. It's generally somewhere else. So maybe a house if that thing doesn't exist, but you get a lot more out of something like what we're doing at Groundworks, because it is not, we call it DIY, but really it's something that we're doing it without a ton of, you know, backing and money and things like that. And that's what makes it DIY. We're still like creating a professional environment where they can learn about sound systems and setups and monitors and things like that from their first show, as opposed to just somebody's backyard and they have to figure out their own PA setup. So it just creates a much better kind of kickoff foundation for somebody who might want to pursue music, even if it's not in a professional light. They at least get a much better sense of what this is like and performance. And it's such a cool thing to hear, like, you know, young people, I've definitely heard from parents being like, oh, my kid was talking about Groundworks. They don't have a band yet, but they just dream of playing there. And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like don't, you know, don't tell them it's so easy to, like, to get here. Like, yeah, keep it a little bit, yeah, mysterious and make it real cool. No, but we really do, like, make the entry level very easy for folks so that, but it's a place people still want to be and want to play. So it's kind of writing that, that line between the two.
Yeah.
Well, Logan, we've got one more interesting musical memory we're going to share with you in a minute or two about Groundworks. That's coming up after a short pause here on Lifetimes of Listening. All right. With our guest today, Logan Green, here at Groundworks, musical memory number three. I must confess, I was really affected the first time I listened to this third musical memory, and you provided it to me last week, Brian. This is from Fei Zhang, who found an important new sense of connection and belonging through music, and here's Fei's story.
My name is Fei. My pronouns are whatever. I'm like, I'm a hardcore kid that has sort of my musical subculture. That's a huge part of what I am. Tucsonan, born and raised. I love this place so much. And music especially is a huge part of that. Having grown into this music scene, having realized that there was so much here, having just been able to take pride in this place. But I am a musical person in general. I listen to, you know, Paramore and Carly Rae Jepsen and Frank Sinatra and stuff. I volunteer at a place called Groundworks. It's this music venue. You should go. It's an all-ages music venue. We do a lot of good stuff. It's especially youth-oriented arts stuff. My first hardcore show was this band, Cherry Avenue, named after Cherry Avenue, not so far away from here. And I was just out there to support them. It was at Splinter Collective, I believe. While I was there, there was this band opening for them. They're a band that has disbanded now. It's a hardcore band, so the lifetime of those are not very particularly long. We were called The Gimps. And it was just genuinely insane. It was like the energy in that room, because like I sort of had the view of hardcore music as just you know, tough guy machismo sort of, you know, meathead stuff that, you know, was against punk or whatever, but just like seeing that in live, seeing it in person, just the energy, and I think that's what mostly dragged me toward it, was the energy, because I do consider myself a very sort of active person and also a very angry person in certain ways. And it was just something that I had never really experienced before with my music. Just being exposed to that sort of thing, and after the show, making friends with those people, like, they're just, like we were in a classroom together, and, like, they're my equals or something, and I could just talk to them and feel comfortable. It was really a huge thing that really dragged me into the music scene at large. And because that's, like, a huge part of music for me, is the ability to participate, the ability to be in something, and that something is a music scene. Talking to people and being able to feel like I belong to something, you know? You know, it's a thing that is alive. For the longest time, I used to hate Tucson so much. I'd be all, oh, I want to move to a real city like New York or wherever and stuff. And it's just, and I guess these past couple of years of turning into a young adult, turning into a college student, realizing that, you know, it's just so much about the city that there is to love, and I just haven't had the opportunity to participate in ever. It was a huge part of it for me. You know, in the middle of a show where, like, you know, in front of a stage, having ear-deafening music playing towards you, screaming lyrics and punching people and getting punched and stuff, it just, you know, taking out a lot of the anger that I have in this world about feeling left out with people that other people that also feel left out and stuff. And, like, just in that, like, one moment of clarity inside that, you know, shitty little venue, I feel like, you know, I belong, that I'm just able to finally be angry for once.
Yeah, Fei is somebody that we, you know, had just kind of gotten out of high school, getting involved in Groundworks, and then really just has dove into learning more about the music scene, booking their own shows, just becoming, you know, maturing, like, you know, over the course of a couple of years, like before our very eyes sort of thing, of just kind of realizing things that other people don't realize for much, much later. And it's so cool to see that. I know Fei loves this space in a way that makes me, whenever I work with Fei around it, just like reminds me of like, oh yeah, this is why I do this. Like this is this is that reason of like it is actively changing people's lives. Other people's parents too have told me like that their kids don't necessarily say this to me, but like their parents are like, you are changing their life. Like this is a new direction for them that we haven't seen until they started getting involved here. And some of that, you know, could be inevitable. Like I was somebody who actively sought it out, but for some other person, they could have, you know, ended up discovering this place and it really kind of opened something up in them. And I think Faye was kind of in that boat of discovering the music scene and getting involved with Groundworks. It just kind of opened up something that they never knew was really there.
It sounds so, that's kind of a through line with all of these stories is that they three individuals that they had, you know, they had some inclinations towards music or whatever, but this space has really, so I believe, if I understand right, Faye has done some booking of some shows and things here, and so he's almost taken that sort of managerial does Groundworks bring people along so that they're able to do that for the space, how does that work?
Yeah, so we really bring it back to our mission. Our mission is promoting the youth-driven music and arts community. So for us, youth-driven is literally putting youth in the driver's seat of this organization. So Faye and others are part of our, or have been, or are part of our administrative team as well as adults. So it's people who are in that age range who are a majority of our volunteers, and they're a majority of the things that get put on here involve people in that age range. So like somebody like Faye is, you know, not just welcome to get involved that way, but like actively encouraged. We're like trying to find those people who are passionate about music and arts and put them in charge of creating some of the programming and content that we do on a regular basis. Yeah. So,
well, I loved listening to that. And I mentioned as I introduced it that it really affected me. So here's Faye describing an experience of seeing these hardcore bands. In my day and age, when I was in my late teens, the coming thing, and talking about the earliest days of the coming thing being punk. And I happened to see within a probably pretty close to one another, chronologically speaking, both the Stooges and the MC5. And I would describe those experiences as he describes this incredible energy, this incredible loudness, and this thing about anger, which only now, later in my life, can I realize that in my own family, you didn't express anger. So to go to an event like that and see this thing happening, I've spoken to people about those two concerts many, many, many times in my life and how they affected me in a similar way to what Faye reported here. So if that sort of thing is happening in this venue and others in Tucson, it's a life-changing thing for lots of young people. And, you know, all these interviews just are just a testament to what you're doing here, Logan. It really is a wonderful thing to hear all of this, and not just to come and listen, but to be engaged and connected and learn about the profession of music making and art.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of youth things that exist, and that people have created things for youth, and sometimes those are really awesome, great opportunities. But the real difference here is that we are not creating them as adults for youth to have. It's really like, what do they want to do and how can they create it?
giving them, putting them in the driver's seat or giving them agency, that's the thing that's really impressive, I think, is, and I think that's partly why it's opening up for the three people that we've played and many more, I'm sure. That's why it's really opening up some, turning on the lights, opening the doors, whatever the metaphor is for people.
Well, it's been great learning about Groundworks, Logan. We really have appreciated this time, and hearing you respond to these three musical memories has been really enlightening and wonderful for us. It's going to be a great episode. I'm really excited to get this out there. So Logan Green, Director of Groundworks here in Tucson, just thank you very, very much for being our guest today on Lifetimes of Listening.
Thank you. This was really special.
Thank you for listening to Lifetimes of Listening. If you haven't done so already, please follow or subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app. We hope you'll also consider participating in our project by telling us your story.
We are really grateful, by the way, to the more than 180 people. I think it's actually upwards of 200 people
now. We're getting close to 200,
who we have interviewed and who have recorded with us stories for the Arizona Musical Memory Archive. It's allowing us here, Brian and I, to better understand the ways in which people value music in their lives. And if you haven't yet visited our website, we'd love for you to do so. It's musicalmemories.music.arizona.edu. There, on the website, you'll find full-length interviews of the ones that we have posted here.
And you can also submit a musical memory of your own via sound file, an essay, a poem, even an illustration of some sort. Or you can suggest to us somebody that you know who would like to share some of their musical memories with us. So please take a look at musicalmemories.music.arizona.edu. I'm Brian Moon.
And I'm Dan Cruz. Thanks for listening to Lifetimes of Listening.
The executive producer of Lifetimes of Listening, the Arizona Musical Memory Podcast, is Brian Moon. The program is produced and edited by Dan Cruz. The Lifetimes of Listening website was created by Cynthia Barlow, Principal Information Technology Manager with the University of Arizona School of Music. Music is from Zapsplat.com and from Pixabay.com. Special thanks to the University of Arizona School of Music and the UA College of Fine Arts for their continued support of the Lifetimes of Listening Musical Memory Archive and this podcast. For more information and to get involved in our research, visit musicalmemories.music.arizona.edu. This is Lifetimes of Listening, the Arizona Musical Memory Podcast.